into their area. The Banking Association says in its input that the license as it currently stands is one issue, but extending the license then falls under the Banks Act, and the regulatory oversight by the Prudential Authority, which would hold in an additional level of trust between Postbank and its depositors, is dealt with there. But again, this would fall under the Finance Committee. I don't see this committee engaging, or perhaps it will in due course, with the Bank Act. Again, totally out of our purview. As stated in the Financial Sector Conduct Authority inputs, the Treasury is currently developing the Conduct of Financial Institutions Bill, which of course this should lock into, absolutely crucially so. So again, that's something that must be considered very seriously, whether to delay this until such time as that bill is passed. Otherwise, one might have to do further amendments. So some input there, please. And then it's about the financial services. It simply says financial services. It doesn't detail what financial services would be on offer. Again, further acts would have to be checked, the FAIS Act or FSR Act. Again, this would be expertise in the Finance Committee. So the license of the bank would be under the Banks Act, and that falls squarely in the Finance Department. But also, it seems to have left out reference to the Prudential Authority. So that's another matter we need to look at. I cannot but keep on imagining in my mind's eye the weeping pensioners in rural areas with the collapse of the VBS. And that's something that one has to be avoiding at all costs. We can't possibly as a country go through that again. For the Ombudsman specifically, in listing those complaints, perhaps I missed it. Is there a slide perhaps or some information that tells us what relates specifically in complaints-wise to the post office? I gather those numbers related to all banking complaints. Perhaps I need correcting there, but just fill me in. And then, yeah, I didn't have anything specifically for Right to Know, but the Financial Sector Conduct Authority, again, because we have no financial expertise, yeah, we don't or haven't gone through the Financial Services Regulation Act or conduct standard for banks. So, again, I think it's out of the purview of this committee. Kosatu quite rightly made reference to supplying banking in rural areas, but perhaps they're not aware that so many post offices have been shut down. People have just walked away and abandoned the buildings. I think we're up to 170 odd now that have closed in rural areas. So people are now, in order to access their grants, for example, having to use much of the grant money for transport to get to a major supermarket where they could draw the monies, or to a bank, or to a post office which may exist somewhere else in another town store. So it's a huge issue. And, you know, to link it as Kosatu has done, if you consider that the post office is bankrupt, I'm sure you read the AG report. I mean, it's absolutely horrendous. And the, as you quite rightly say, the fraudulent claiming of members' contributions for medical aid and pensions that has been siphoned off by management and used to pay other bills, leaving on and off members completely without medical aid and in the knowledge that their pension fund has what, disappeared? I've yet to ascertain. I have called in the Hawks to investigate, but think of linking a bank to that. What public confidence will there be? I'd like some input from them on that. And then we have the Banking Association. I didn't have any specific questions there for their input. So I think I'm done for now. Thank you, Acting Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Barnard, but can I give...
It's Kola Barnard, ma'am.
Honorable Kola Barnard.
Thank
you, I'm sorry for that. Can I give Honorable Bodlane the chance, and then the institutions will respond their questions as you were going table institution by institution. So I will ask Honorable Bodlane to come in.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think for us, we welcome the voices of organizations that have made presentations today. This is indeed democracy in action. I think just for clarity, the point of departure is to say we acknowledge the need to get more South Africans into the banking system. And what we are questioning here today is not that need, but it is the vehicle that is being proposed to service that need, which is the post bank. Just to echo the sentiments of Honorable Kola Barnard, I also felt that this bill is quite technical, and with the responsibility that this bill places on the Minister of Finance, it would be prudent for this Portfolio Committee to then have a joint committee meeting or some form of report from the Portfolio Committee of Finance on how they view this amendment to this bill, because a lot of it really rides on what the National Treasury says and also on the position of the Minister of Finance. So I think it would be prudent on our part to make a better informed decision after hearing from the Portfolio Committee of Finance. Chairperson, the failure of state-owned companies in South Africa is public knowledge. And we end up...
Please, can you mute?
Chairperson, I was just lamenting on the failure rate of state-owned companies in South Africa, which end up requiring state bailouts.
Okay.
And obviously that makes the markets nervous. We are sitting with high unemployment rates at the moment, and with the processes that this bill has undergone, I do not see it strengthening the market in any way. The separation of the Post Bank from the South African Post Office, it is clear that it is going to cause a decline in the net asset value of SAPO, and the unbundling of the two entities and the restructuring of SAPO. I understand that this is where we are at this point, but I'm just flagging this because the CEO of SAPO also flagged it when they made their annual report last meeting. So it has huge implications on the already ailing South African Post Office, this unbundling. And the bill as it stands, it is proposing that the South African Post Office could not be the bank controlling company because it is poor, because it is bankrupt. And therefore, the minister then becomes the BCC for the Post Bank. In my view, this gives the minister too much power. And at the point that I have already made to say state-owned entities are not viable in South Africa. And this is also something that the Right to Know has also expressed, to say you do not want so much power lying with one individual in the person of the minister. And it is unfortunate that SAPO is really not financially sound, because this Post Bank is going to cripple SAPO further. And as Kosatu rightly says, people in the far-flung areas, in the rural areas, need to be banked. But as my colleague has already said, there's no post offices in those provinces, so the logic does not follow. Chairperson, one of the key requirements is that the banking control company must be a financially sound proposition in terms of the banking app. And I've already said we are just crippling the system further. We are just crippling the state coffers further. The National Treasury has eventually agreed upon this perspective, with the minister having too much power again, Chairperson. the question that was asked by the CEO at the last meeting was, how will the Post Bank compensate the goodwill of the post office? It would be interesting to see how this balances itself out, Chairperson. There has to be a feasibility study, Chairperson. We don't implement bills and policies for the sake of implementing. We implement them because they have got
Honorable Poldani, you are law.
The Post Bank will be able to compete with already a saturated market.
Can you please start again on the issue of the Post Bank? Because now you decided just to cut by network, Honorable Poldani.
I beg your pardon, Chairperson. I'm just saying, in terms of the cost, the main financial implications of the bill are predicted that in the form of a new entity, they would require a new board, a new CEO, a new CFO, and all the other committees. And these are going to have financial implications on the Post Bank. Can we request as this committee that we are provided by with a feasibility study on how the Post Bank is going to afford all of these things without crippling the state further? Chairperson, on the comments that were made by COSATU, COSATU clearly says that the Post Bank shows no characteristics of self-sustenance, and we agree with COSATU. A substantial burden to the fiscus. Yes, this bank will be a substantial burden to the fiscus, as COSATU correctly points out. And it is in its own explanatory memorandum, the state admits that SAPO has been financially crippled and would not be able to fund such a project. Hence, you have the minister and not SAPO as the PCC. Hence, the burden on the state. So we agree with COSATU. This is going to be a burden on the state. The Banking Association of South Africa has spoken about how they would like to suggest that the composition of the board of the bank and the controlling company in terms of the 50-50 split. We agree with that so that the minister is not the one who has the most power, and we end up with cadre deployment at the appointment of the board. The right to know is correct, Chairperson. The board should have a strong autonomous role. And we indeed do welcome this proposal. The Financial Sector Conduct Authority laments that the lack of clarity on the post office and its intention to render financial services as defined as either the Financial Auxiliary and Advisory, I beg your pardon, and Intermediary Services Act or the Financial Sector Regulatory Act, it would be advisable to include clear definition of financial services. And this morning they also made that point, because I think this then means that there is no clarity on the spending, the local standing of the Post Bank, and it means that a lot more work needs to be done in terms of this book. Chairperson, while we do not in any way want to make this a long-ended process, I think we are tasked with a very big job of making sure that we pass bills as members of Parliament that are constitutionally sound, bills that will not cripple the fiscus, bills that will benefit the people. So it is my request to the Portfolio Committee that we do not rush this bill, but we do proper diligence. We invite the Portfolio Committee on Finance, the National Treasury, and indeed what we have already asked for in terms of an impact study on this proposed bill. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Ms. Bordani. Before I can give to the institutions to respond, also let me say, Honorable Bordani, are you supporting the issue of saying a joint study group? I mean, a joint portfolio committee on two sessions needs to be achieved, because now we are dealing with the issue of the finances. But this is not for the first time dealing with this bill. That is why we are trying to amend, but I'm fully supporting you on that side, as you are raising to say let's have a joint team with the NT and also the Financial Portfolio Committee. Before I can also give the institution to raise, I'm so happy also on the side of giving the issue on the side of the licenses also just to take caution. But firstly, let me give the ombudsman to come. There's somebody who's disturbing me. Can we mute? I never give somebody a platform.
So we check.
Okay, it's Honorable Bambo.
Yes, Ms. Kubeka, Honorable Bambo, I think, wants to ask a question.
Okay, can I give Honorable Bambo before they can respond, in order that when they are responding, they will respond to all the questions of honorable members.
Mr. Pambo, I think we have been problems with Mr. Baker's reception. If you can proceed, please. Thank you.
Honorable Pambo?
Mr. Pambo needs to unmute Ms. Kubeka.
Okay, let me give to the institution, give him a platform after if he can't be accessible.
Good morning, Honorable Kubeka. Can I answer, respond? It is Riona Stein from the Banking Ombudsman.
Yes.
Thank you. I think I just sort of noted one question from Honorable Kola Barnard around the complaints. So yes, those complaint numbers that I showed is complaints from all the banks. In specific, the Post Bank, before this presentation I checked, we're dealing with about 10 complaints. So very small in relation to the other big banks, I think for obvious reasons. About 10 complaints that we've received and that we're dealing with, mostly around ATMs, ATMs not dispensing cash, and there were one or two savings accounts, people asking for closure of the account, and the bank wasn't assisting, or for calling up investments. So those were the three types of complaints that I noted in those very few complaints, as I say, 10 that I counted at the moment. But of course, you know, if this bill is passed and is a full service bank, that picture will change drastically. So I hope I've responded to your question. I don't know if there's anything else. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam. Can I give the right to know of Honorable Bambo? Can I check you again?
I've been struggling with connectivity, but as I was trying to get in, I got cut off, and I suppose you're getting responses.
Yes.
But I wanted to just say a few words before maybe we give the other respondents a chance.
That is why we were saying we are giving you a platform. It's an issue of a network. We are sorry. But can you come in before the right to know?
Yes, that's fine. I think
all your questions, Honorable Bambo, can you just do that? Because they are how many institutions? Five.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I think, Chair, let me just first start by stating that the separation of the Post Bank is still not convincing. From also that COSATU would have responded the way it does in agreeing with the separation, especially because we don't want a bank that will have the dirty hands of capital. That is a starting point, and one must agree with the right to know that, you know, we do not want a minister who is essentially a sole shareholder. We have seen this with Eskom. Pravin Gordhan treats that entity called Eskom as his own personal, entity. So we don't want a situation like that. That does not give us accountability. Essentially, it gives the minister power. But why do we want to separate the Postbank from SAPO when SAPO has got all this infrastructure? Yes, 170 have been closed, branches, but that is not the reason why we should be going for the separation. We should be capacitating and making sure, like we should with all the other entities that are collapsing in this country, the financial, soundness of SAPO is not a reason why we should capacitate it, and at the right time, then that will then yield results to the Postbank. But we have this infrastructure to start a separate bank, much as we agree that we must have a state-owned bank. But this will just create a small micro lending institution somewhere in some corner in certain malls of this country and somewhere in some odd village, which won't really yield any proper results. Our people won't have proper access to this Postbank, because to start it from scratch and as it's proposed does not make sense. There is no legislative hindrance here. That has been dealt with. That has already been overcome. So we can actually capacitate SAPO, and at the right time then apply for a full license. But at the way in which we're going with it, I think the process is wrong, and we'll just end up with a small entity that does not produce the desired outcome. Our people won't get the necessary banking services that they want. This will be just one of the smallest, insignificant participants in the banking sector. And the only way we can grow SAPO, the only way we can make sure that we have a proper Postbank, is by making sure, firstly, that we fix SAPO. After we fix SAPO, then we can then speak about expanding. The challenge is no longer legislative, and this bill has got many challenges. And the committee is correct. We're having this conversation in the absence of a finance committee, which is obviously, this is essentially part of what they should be contributing to. This is what they should be, engaged with. It's a big decision, and we can't be having it as if it does not affect that committee. So the colleagues are quite right, and I think that we need to have a proper, we need to reflect properly on this bill and not just push for it to be passed. It's highly problematic, and we need to reconsider this bill in possibly in its entirety. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Bambo. Can I give the right to know just to respond? But I think because them, they it was those that only two submissions, and they are supporting. Hopefully, they will listen to other members who have raised in order to just come in and advise where they wanted to advise. Right to know.
Yeah, no, thanks for the opportunity. I think for us, just a comment, and also now understanding that some of the mandate lies also with the financial committee, the portfolio committee. So I think it only makes sense that there should be a joint meeting between these two committees, because you don't want to, at the later stage, where the bill has moved. So now you hear other views from the Finance Portfolio Committee, and it will end up delaying things. So I think, yeah, we are also in support of that. It's very important to also get some support from the Finance Portfolio Committee. Okay.
But your issue you were raising, especially on the side of the minister and the selection committee, being a player and a referee at the same time.
Yeah,
right now.
Yeah, our position is still the same. We are still saying we can't be giving too much power to the minister only. As we have stated in our submission, that the when it comes to the CEO and the chief financial officer, the board members, the board must be given autonomy to do their work. They must be allowed to appoint. And also when it comes to the appointment of board members, the selection committee must be set up to deal with the appointment of board members and submit to the minister, because it will cause problems moving forward if you give all power to the minister. So this is still our position as the election committee.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's come to FSCI.
Thank you, Honorable Kubeka. I did not really understand any specific questions that addressed to the Financial Conduct Authority, but maybe if I can just give some context to that Conduct of Financial Institutions Bill that Conduct Paula Barnard referred to. So if it is the intention that the Postbank will provide financial services defined in the FICE Act and it's authorized as a financial services provider, once the Conduct of Financial Institutions Act is effected, all the financial service providers will be transitioned through a transitional process into the new dispensation. So I thought maybe just to give that context that there are some transitional provisions if the Postbank.
Are you still there?
Ms. Pandey?
Adira?
I think her screen just froze, Ms. Kubeka.
Okay. I think she has already tried to respond to Honorable Kola Barnard. Maybe on the side of the regulatory act, as also she was trying to explain, we will give the chance on that side. Can I give the poster to?
Yeah, no, thanks, Chair, and thanks to members. I think, Chair, just in terms of honorable.
Sorry, a little bit sympathetic. There is somebody who unmuted by mistake. Can we mute our microphones, all of us, to give the Kosatu the chance to respond? You can take it, Kosatu.
Okay. No, thanks, Chair. Just in terms of the Honorable Kola Barnard's question, in terms of the Conduct of Financial Institutions Bill, so that bill has left that like a while ago. We're also engaging with Treasury to make sure that bill can come to Parliament as quickly as possible because we think it's a progressive bill that's going to benefit consumers, the economy, etc. I don't think, Chair, that you need to delay this Postbank bill for that bill, because once that bill comes to Parliament, comes into effect, it applies to all bank institutions. I think they're complementary. I don't think one needs to wait for it. But Chair, listen to Honorable Kola Barnard and also Honorable Botlani's issue about is this bill constitutional, etc., what are Treasury's views? And without us being spokespersons for government, we would assume this bill has been certified by the Chief State Law Advisor, and that's a requirement for a bill to be tabled at Parliament. We would assume also that this bill has gone through the Cabinet, or the DG's cluster, the Cabinet Subcommittee, Cabinet itself, or Treasury there, and they would have been made the inputs. Not that there's anything wrong with asking Treasury to come make input as well. Of course, they're always in rich issues. But I think we also, as COSAR, to take comfort from some of the support we've seen from the Banking Association, from the FFCA as well, who we think are also well-placed and have given some positive reassurances to this bill and to the soundness and the logic of the bill. But, Chair, I mean, I think to both Honorable Kola Barnard and Botlani had raised issues about Suffolk branch closures in rural areas, and we're very much aware of it. Our members are really struggling who work at the post office, were struggling to get paid, to get a medical aid, to get their pension issues, etc. And of course, workers and pensioners are struggling to access their post bank services. And look, we've got a choice. We can continue to do nothing collectively as government, as parliament, as society, and then we can kiss goodbye to the post office. The post office will die. The post bank will never take off. Or we can take the necessary interventions to intervene, to stabilize the post office, to enable the post bank to take off the ground. And we think this post bank bill and the pending South African Post Office Amendment Bill as well, which is also now recently will come to Parliament soon, we think both of those bills are complementary. We think they're going to help to stabilize the post office, to give it a platform to the post office bill to take off. We think the post bank bill will also do similarly with the post bank. So, Chair, this class is a, we don't have a choice. We have to do it, otherwise these institutions are simply going to die. And it'll be our members who are retrenched at the post office. It'll be ordinary workers and residents who will not have access to the banking, the post office services, the post bank, etc. Chair, I think also this benefit of this bill that we think it also helps to fill a commercial vacuum with the commercial banks that just simply choose to neglect townships and rural areas and home areas, the poor, etc. And you know the reports of redlining are legendary. So we think this is going to help to inject some competition there. Honorable Colonel Barnes right that the abuse of post office workers is criminal, it's fraudulent. If you deduct someone's pension or medical and you don't pay it over, that's a fraudulent offense. Similarly, if you deduct unemployment insurance benefits, coverage, or compensation injury on duty deductions that you don't pay to those institutions, it is a criminal offense. We would welcome any investigations, be it by the Hawks or whomever, to try to arrest the rot. But we also do need a structural shift to it. We think this bill and the post office bill help to provide that structural shift to enable us to save these institutions. But it's clear, Chair, if we don't do something, the post office will die and the post bank will never take on. So we think that this bill can help, we think, inadvertently revive the post office. We think it's going to give it a new business model for the post bank and that's going to benefit the post office. And of course, Chair, that you know, just because it'll be a state-owned bank, doesn't mean the rules doesn't apply. Doesn't mean you don't have to have competent management. You have to have those things. We also recognize that fiscus is very limited. So the era of endless bailouts is over. But it doesn't mean that you don't give the necessary recapitalization support and with relevant subsidy support in exchange for good governance and for the management fulfilling its mandate and so forth. Chair, I think we hear Honourable Budlani saying that she believes, that the DA believes that SOE is unviable. Look, that's obviously an ideological difference between the DA and the party. We believe SOE are viable, but you need competent management, you need to re-pivot them to address the structural shifts in the sex and the economy. At times, in exchange for management, to do some state support or financial support or contractual support from the state. And we can point to good examples in South Africa and across the world. Many Western countries have got very strong SOEs, be it in the US, be it in Europe, be it in China. So that's because into SOEs before the decade of state capture were all world-class institutions. With the necessary turning around, they can be revived. Our understanding from the department where we engaged in this bill previously, NEDLAC, was that there is a CS available for this bill and for the post office bill coming down the road. And I'm sure that I'll speak about the government, they can usually provide a percentage requirement for bills. Chair, I think that's lastly to Honourable Ambo. Look, we don't think we have the luxury of not acting, because if you don't act, then the post office may not last a few years. But let's get this thing done. We think you can assist. And I'm saying, Chair, from our engagements in the sector and even engagement with Southport Banking Trade Union, is that these are legal requirements to enable the post bank to fully operate. If it wants to operate in the banking financial sector, it has to be meeting all these requirements of the law, like any other bank. We think this is going to help unlock the post bank to be fully operational. We take comfort that in the bill, it's clearly written that the post bank, would be owned by the state, not be privatized. I think this is a response to a long-standing call of society, of the alliance, of society, of many others, for a state commercial bank owned by the state,
We don't think, Chair, that we would agree with the EFF that we just focus on fixing the post office. We neglect the post bank. We think we've got to do both of them, and they'll be complementary. But to do one and not to do the other is not going to be sustainable. To wait for the post bank to be, post office to be fully fixed, we neglect the post bank. Again, it's not going to make economic sense to us, Chair. We think we have to do both. It's just unfortunate we have many crises facing us. We have to do all of them simultaneously. But I think, Chair, this does give the post bank a 5G chance, and it will assist the post office to give it a 5G chance. So I think hopefully I've responded to the question on the Chair members. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much for that. Can I give on the side of Bata, because Bata has just told us great to say we are supporting the deal. Bata?
I'm so sorry, Chair. It's Benjamin here. I just didn't get the, I couldn't hear you. Can you just say it again? Apologies.
No, I'm saying on our side you have just already at least told us that you are fully supported the issue of the amendment bill. Where we need or where we want things to be advised also. I think you'll be the part on that side, but indeed you are welcoming the amendment as you have seen the way it has been written, and you were trying to correct maybe some other sources. Am I correct, Bata?
Yes, Chair, you are correct. We are supportive of the Post Bank Amendment Bill, because this will enable the Post Bank, because the Post Bank, from our perspective, already have a provisional banking license from the South African Reserve Bank since 2015. So this bill will enable the Post Bank to be, become more compliant with the regulations under the Banks Act, and also will assist Post Bank to obtain a full banking license from the South African Reserve Bank. So we are fully supportive of that, and going forward we will support Post Bank in terms of any from a governance or regulatory requirements that may come from the South African Reserve Bank or the Financial Sector Conduct Authority to ensure that the Post Bank as an entity also becomes compliant. Thank you. We are supportive.
Thank you very much. I've seen the minister before I can just come in. Can I just give the minister an opportunity on that side of the platform in order to say something? I'm sure she can hear that we are hearing the issue of a player and the referee. Can I just invite the minister and welcome her on the platform? Minister Ajira?
Mr. Baker, the minister has been trying to connect, and she sent an apology via the staff. I thought you said you saw her on the system, because then I was looking for she did send an apology because she was trying to connect. Back on the system also. Thank you.
Thank you, Ajira. Can I just check also to other members, or are they covered? If all members are covered, I would like, is there anyone who wants to take a look? Okay. Okay.
Yes, first I was indicating that in another spot I was able to connect again, but I've been following throughout, and I'm sure I'll be guided by yourself whether to comment at the end or whether the opportunity we're giving was also for such. So I'll
Chair,
be guided by you. Thank you.
Chair. Chair.
Okay. I can I
give
you hand over to the chairperson, or can I continue, chairperson? Because now you are available.
No, it's fine. I can note, Honourable Bambo. Thanks, Honourable Kubeka. But of course, if I'm still dealt with by the network situation, you would indeed close the gap. Thanks for doing that.
Okay.
Honourable Bambo, I'm not sure whether you was to raise a point before you move to the next, or it was a follow-up question that was
made. Yes. No, thank you very much. No. I just like you, have suffered connectivity challenges again, and was very much interested in the response by COSATU. And maybe if you can give us a brief summary, a three-liner of what he has said. I had heard a bit from him, but I couldn't. I lost connectivity. So if you can please just give us a brief summary of the submission by COSATU. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Bambo. Honourable Kubeka, now as a participant, I see your hand is also up. Honourable Kubeka, or is it by mistake?
No. Thank you, Chair. I wanted, Chair, just to say to this institution that they have been presented to say, indeed, we've heard, and also to the members of the Parliament, the issue of the PC, of communication to meet with the PC and also the NT chair. I don't see any train smash on that in order that we can find whatever regulations that are strictly on the side of the finance. But I appreciate to say, if we can give on the side of the right to know the issue of the minister, as Honorable Bambo also raising the issue of saying the issue is seems as if the minister is giving more power than the board. But I think the clarity on that, also the accountability on the side of the minister. The minister needs to account, even though she needs to be also on the side to hear for being a shareholder. But I'm saying it needs to be clarified, because now the issue of the board, it's very key, and they need to have a board which will be accountable, especially because this is the side of the bank. So they need to be much more accountable in order that everything can be moved steadily and in the correct direction. But I will also say, to Honorable Pambo, it can be we want to stop the issue of the amendment bill at this present moment to say let's focus and conclude firstly with the issue of SAPO, because the matters that are there on the side of SAPO, we are still working on it on a daily basis as we are meeting with the issue of SAPO. We are trying to correct the situation on that side of coming to the issue of the budget or the financial issues on that side. And taking note that the CEO of SAP have already explained clearly, and we are still need to remember that there are other things that were the legal that they need just to work on it, to correct on it in order to find a SAPO on its own feet. So I'm saying we rather work concurrently. We are on the side of assisting the issue of SAPO whilst we are continuing with the issue of the post bank, because it's key, critical, and we need it as much as possible. Thank you, Chair.
thank you, Honorable Kubeka. And I'm sure Mr. Matthew Parks would indicate if he's probably misrepresented in this case. But I'm not sure the exact point, but I'll just take it from a point of understanding, interest, Honorable Pambo, that I'm not sure which point you lost. Exactly. But I think the point that Osatu was making was that as you look at, yes, the challenges that are in SAP and they need to look at the prospect, we need to look at them both from a point that the Postbank is being restructured in order for it to operate like any other bank. But that does not mean suspension of other interventions that need to happen now if we are to save the post office and still operate in the next few years, because if nothing is done in the next few years, it will just not be operational. And therefore, the support for the bill does not mean not supporting interventions that are needed at SAPO. I think it went further to indicate that even from a legislation point of view, there is going to be a bill that comes before this committee, which I think at the level that would have been briefed off, the one that relates to the South African Post Office. So we still have an opportunity to look at it from a point of legislation. But in the intervening period, we have to do something about SAPO. And I want to say that it would not be something new from all inputs made, including what the CEO of SAPO raised with us at the committee. And we've made certain recommendations. And that means that we still have SAPO anyway coming before us after the Minister of Finance would have addressed Parliament. So as for those matters that were said to be pending that process, we can get better feedback and say what then gets to be the intervention. So I understood his last point to be about that, and therefore the difference would be not to stall the process until SAPO interventions are done, because the bill itself is of necessity in changing the complexion of the financial sector, where the state also needs to play a role. As I said, Mr. Matthew Parks, you would indicate if I've misrepresented COSATU, was not a representative of COSATU. If you can indicate that so that we're able to move. If you can have your
No, thanks, Comrade Chair. You've covered us very well, Comrade Chair. So Women's Alliance is alive on this committee. I think, Comrade Chair, yeah, the point is, as you're saying, that we have multiple crises, crisis of the post office, crisis of the post bank, growth opportunities, and it's about us fixing all of them. We don't have the luxury of time to say, let's fix this, wait until this is resolved before we go into the other issues. So I think for us it's about, so we support the two bills, the post bank bill, because I think it's going to give a fighting chance for the post bank to grow and also to fill the state's own mandate for a fully fledged state-owned commercial bank. And of course we support the post office bill when it comes to Parliament in the near future. Again, because we think it's going to help to address, as Honourable Pambo says correctly, resolve the fundamental challenges facing the post office. We think the complementary, we must deal with them simultaneously. We're also very sensitive, Honourable Chair members, that we don't have a huge amount of time in this parliamentary calendar. We've got one month basically left in this parliamentary year, and then next year we've got the final year before the 2024 election. So we want to see things getting dealt with quickly. We do appreciate it takes on average about a year for Parliament to pass bills. So we wouldn't want to see what happened in the fifth Parliament, where about 19 bills weren't passed because we simply ran out of time. So I think without rushing it, without cutting corners, undermining the constitutional obligations of Parliament, we would want to see things moving. And I think, Chair, we also take comfort from the fact that the bill says quite clearly this will be a state-owned bank. I think, lastly, Chair, as you said, that we have an option. We can provide leadership. We can do these necessary interventions in the post bank, the post office, give them a fighting chance to save those jobs, to benefit society, or we can do nothing, and then we can be guaranteed, that this honorable chair, that this, the post office won't survive in a few years. The post bank will never take off, and then that'll be on our shoulders and our conscience. And I think we'd rather take the opportunity to intervene now whilst we have the space of time to do so. That's why we support this bill, honorable chair. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Parks. Honorable members, I think you have made your inputs and have been responses made. Of course, other responses may also need the committee itself to remind itself of some of the reports that have come before the committee, but as well as two questions in Parliament on this matter. There have been responses even from the Minister of Finance that referred the matter to our committee and in the cabinet level that of the minister, for one simple reason, that the post bank, as we speak, reports to this committee, not to the finance committee or the country. And therefore the referral from the 86th have been correct, that this committee spearhead that. I think there's been a suggestion which may also be that whether it is a joint meeting or we can get some support from the finance committee, the portfolio committee on finance, on their consideration on the matter, and the matter was also sent to National Treasury. The other point is what Mr. Matthew Parks would have raised, that at the bill level, these bills do get subjected to social economic impact assessments, so as to look at it from a point of implementation, like Honorable Bozani would have raised it as a concern, that we don't just put the laws and then the implications are understood later and they may be hitting the fiscal of the country, instead of assisting in the way the law would have been assessed. So those at least confirmed that they would have been looked at. I've indicated earlier on, before I was dealt with by the network, that we should also remember that this bill has gone through cabinet and it came to the committee for us to engage with the bill, and that's what we're doing now, that engagement. And this committee correctly so, even when we received one response, which was from COSATU, which we appreciate, the committee appreciated that, but still wanted to open up more. And I think we should draw strength from that it is out of that committee intervention that we have the submissions we had today. And this submission clearly speak to what is the actual amendment about. And that amendment really makes the distinction. That was really not dealing with monetary bill and so on. But it is about the holding company and how it gets structured, and therefore a slight amendment in the bill to allow such a structure, as well as officials that need to be appointed to ensure that happens. Therefore, it talks to the structure more than anything else. And it is that structure that will report to this committee in the form of the post bank. So it's still reporting to this committee, and therefore under the executive would be the Minister of Communications and Digital Technologies. Right. I'm raising this point so that our consultation to get the views of the finance side of things, which is from the portfolio committee, should not erase the fact that this is the responsible committee to deal with matters of the post bank, hence the referral to this committee. Yeah, I think for me that's important to raise. And as I said, in the questions to the National Assembly, there was a time when there was an expectation that the National Treasury will create a state bank and therefore engage that process as the National Treasury. And in his response,
the current Minister of Finance indicated to the House that that's a matter of fact here. So I'm repeating this just to make sure that we can also remember that this has been responded to at least from the side of the Finance Minister in that regard. And I take it that even though the Minister may have not commented at this point, owing to connectivity and so on, like I said, honourable members, our engagements at this point are still preliminary engagements. So we will still need to get the response from the department, but also from our leader, people to look at the proposals that have been forwarded. And I think if one was to summarise, I'll say just three parts. One is that there is generally the support by all presentations for us to go this route of the amendment, emphasizing the fact that we need to be able to push this forward the quicker the better. I know two ministers of the quicker the better. I think that's a sense we have from all those that have presented. But secondly, there are proposals, firstly, that looks at protection of the customers, like it happens with all others, but the other is compliance to other legislative requirements for an institution of this nature that's been proposed on how it operates, so that we don't do things that are outside. But thirdly, how we ensure that as we look at governance matters, we do not have a situation that would have been raised in the past as collapsing state-owned enterprises. So as we look at those proposals, it's the legality of those, but as well as how those proposals strengthen good governance once you put up such an entity as MBCs. So I just thought it's important that we get ourselves back to that track. All the other points valid. We have raised the separation issue, but we also know that the separation issue was dealt with in April 2019, long before we came in, and therefore they would have been operating already along those lines. But it's unless I've understood it wrongly, COSATU understands this issue of working together, not necessarily of keeping them together having been separated, but an understanding that that footprint they refer to is on the basis that the Post Bank has operated in the infrastructure of the post office, for which we know its footprint, especially in the rural areas, the targeted people and low income areas in that regard. And that then should inform the interventions to the suburb that the Post Bank would be building on that infrastructure as a state bank. And this should not be in any way disadvantaging SAPO other than helping SAPO that is struggling to maintain even that infrastructure owing to financial challenges they are experiencing. I think we should see positivity in it in that way, that there is an opportunity to look at it differently, where the Post Bank utilizes that infrastructure and the post office can leverage from resources that may be there. This is confirmed again by the quarterly reports that have been given, where we have also been briefed about the Post Bank when we're asking these questions about how the separation has collapsed the Post Bank. So if we can keep those honorable members, and so that next session we can come back to the department and the legal people who have also listened. But we should be happy that there's no dissenting view from those that made submissions, except to strengthen areas that they see as areas of weakness. Minister, of course, the part that I have left relates to yourself. And you were able to follow the deliberations on the other side. and there was a need for you to quickly respond, as I said, on a preliminary basis, because we still need a full response when we get back to convene as members before we deliberate on how we need to move forward in the next session. Honorable the Minister, can you hear
Thank me? Thank you, Chairperson. I'm now back again. Apologies, I'll have to keep my camera off because the network is not very stable where I am. Otherwise, I'll be kicked out again. Chairperson, I need to thank you for the clarity you just provided, but also clarify that we are going to present a report to you, to the Portfolio Committee, in terms of the detail of the issues raised. We've covered them, so we'll bring a full submission and then do the explanation. But there are a few things I need to clarify. The first one is about the separation of the post bank and the post office. The matter of the separation is not the choice of the department. It's the requirement by the Prudential Authority or the Reserve Bank that has said if the post bank has to be licensed as a bank, it will need to be separated from the post office so that it can fully comply with the Banking Act. And the submission that the bill that is under public consultation now from your side is the bill that talks about this holding company and the structure. As you have indicated, even in the bill we have clarified that the post bank will ride on the infrastructure of the post office, so that there is no, the separation is the separation of law as required, but they will still share the infrastructure, which will mean the cost that will ordinarily be run by the SAPO will also be shared by the Post Bank. And they are working, we've got a full board. I had the pleasure of meeting with them last week, and also at their AGM, so that they'll develop a strategy of how do they leverage that infrastructure and make sure that the post office infrastructure, as it was known, does not collapse as they roll out their own post bank branches within those post offices. That is the one matter I needed to clarify. And it's 10%. Where we are, we appreciate the support that is given by the general members of the public on the work of separating the post bank, because it's part of increasing in making sure that those who are banked or underbanked can have access to the banking services. Those who do not have access to financial services can have access to the financial services. And that's the work that the post bank will do. And will continuously come back to the Portfolio Committee and report on that progress. And as you have clarified, when the Minister of Finance was asked the question about the State Bank, he referred the matter to myself to be the responsible person on that matter because of the responsibility of the Post Bank. And this matter is not the first time a bill of this nature has been considered. There was a previous bill that did the initial separation, and that bill was processed by this very Portfolio Committee. It was not processed by the Finance Portfolio Committee. It's important to keep that in mind. We'll therefore submit not only the CS report that we got, which we are required to do, we'll also submit the correspondences with the Prudential Authority in terms of the work done, but also the all the other questions that have been raised on our part. And I think at that point we'll also be able to submit what the Post Bank and Post Offices SAPO are engaging on in terms of their working relationship going forward, because they have a full understanding that their relationship remains symbiotic. And I would like to thank you, and we'll be ready for interacting with the Portfolio Committee. I think it is next week, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Minister. Like I said, honorable members would still have an opportunity to engage the report that they'll be bringing next week as part of taking this process forward. Of course, we'll do also the interaction with the Finance the Portfolio Committee, so as to check whether they've engaged on the matter, and of course the interest that score. Without, of course, delaying what this committee is expected to do. Of course, before we move to the next item, let me join Honorable Kubega, because she has done this before, surely, of really once again thanking you for making yourself
available to come before this committee. We value the contributions you are making as we take the matters forward and engage with the department and the people. We'll take the points you've raised into consideration. We can only expect a better product at the end that will serve in the main South Africans, especially those that are disadvantaged and are in our rural spaces, informal settlements, people of lower income, and so on. So that's how we would want us to disclose this session of the public hearing before we get to the items of the committee that are left for us to deal with. And I'm sure Honorable Pambo, we would not be dealt with by connectivity next time. Maybe we can discuss the hybrid approach of us getting to the fiscal and getting others on the platform next time. Because I want you to come back to that argument we had about the state without Costfat being here.
Before you close, I would humbly check.
Can you have 10 minutes? I'll call you back when
She's saying that the bill is essentially responding to a proposal by SARP. That the only way that Postbank can be a full bank or get a full banking license.
Yes, sir, I'm going to do that.
Would be through separation from the SAP. Is that what the minister is saying?
Well, for the MTBPS, I don't think so. I think
no, but they sent some emails to the
president.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, there's the separation required from the South African Reserve Bank, and that is the requirement, and also the because if you recall, Chairperson, this is the Post Bank, but the Post Bank retained the
Post
Bank as the and then the requirement was the holding company, and that's what we've got yourself. And the working from that company and the other relevant structure. So that is the requirement. Yeah, and maybe when I have a motion, can I also clarify the matter so that on the board, the board is appointed in a transparent manner. It's advertised and they go through a nomination process and they go through an assessment. The current board has completed the phase one, which is the assessment by the accountant Auditor General of South Africa, what the fit and proper. And so when the Post Bank has become a bank, they will then go through the Reserve Bank fit and proper assessment. When we appointed when we went to cabinet for the appointment of the board, the Reserve Bank had to give us a letter confirming that they have no objection. They are not approving, but they have no objection. They will only consider the board and assess the board when the Post Bank has become a bank or computerized as a bank, or when this bill is in place to become. They will start assessing when this bill has become an act, because that's when they kick in.
But you can bring it here for me. Have you got those things that you can bring it in here?
Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Minister. Honorable Pambo, you've been responded to.
Chair, I think I have a huge contention. I mean, if you read in the background, I think it's on page 10 of the bill. I think the main thing that arises numerously as the motif of this bill is that essentially the separation is called for not because it is inherent reason. Other option is that, or rather the reason why they are calling for a separation is because SAPO
in its current form
is not profitable. And if SAPO is fixed, we can have and without separation,
it depending being
fully licensed. That is the only reason.
But outside of that, what do you want to talk about? Is it something else that the minister is engaging?
I hear that you know, the postbank will still be within the infrastructure and the structure of the SAPO, but the reality is that we don't need to separate.
Okay, let's do
it can be done within its current form only when
it's fine.
And
I think even if
the
bill comes
to that,
one of the
legislation
might fine.
Has been overcome.
It's not a problem.
The amendment with the Banking Act. And I think the Bank Act, and I think the Minister is fully aware of that.
Okay.
It is not the reason that it's been raised by the Minister. At least
hello.
I understand as far as the deal
hello.
Is concerned.
What is the latest in terms of
thank you, Honorable Minister, I'm not sure that was the end because I want to hope that we move forward from this point, but I also don't want to be in doubt of the response that could help.
It is a legacy head. We will provide the details as we come to the Portfolio Committee to clarify. I think Honorable Pambo was intentionally wanting to open it into this office.
Okay, so let me
we'll bring
get,
it to the Portfolio Committee. Thank you.
Okay.
I wanted to indeed hold that we have exhausted the part that
the lady has to make a contest as an independent. Oh, because at the moment nobody can contest the internet.
For the public.
Is there Wi-Fi net? No Wi-Fi.
Well, she's connectable and streaming.
Why is there no Wi-Fi?
This is just the point of whatever the public can still be.
No,
we don't have to this discussion.
No, but there's Wi-Fi in this whole
thing. I'm not sure we can get back to it. But this, once again, double say, we would have to fold our hands and not do anything about SAPO when we have to the letters there. So I think we are leaving the meeting with that. Understand that those letters that are linked to SAPO and fulfill it, we have to still play our role and to complain oversight. And I think the recommendations that have been made thus far.
But I didn't know that you were not here.
I thought there was Wi-Fi for everybody.
If you are
staff and employee,
the first
time
you
leave
Wi-Fi, I'm actually
surprised
what you're
saying. Of different roles. And I want to clearly, as a way of closing this part, it's the minister. It may also be very important, Minister, as you prepare the responses. To look at the aspect raised by Kosatu, that sometimes we do set up the infrastructure and the support from different players in the state does not come through. And then we come back and say there's problems of liability and so on. So the repair proposal there. That from the point of operationalization, not just the infrastructure of SAPO, but how other departments and state-owned entities and other sorts of governments would contribute in supporting that is not a statement of
system. What I want to know, I'm confused.
So would then move from this point, as I said, I do know. Also,
what is this I'm hearing that the Wi-Fi here only works for the MP and not for the staff?
That we have the next item. As we get to the next item, like I said, we thank you for participation. You are also free.
Because, I mean, they are communicating with us. And apparently, it's only working on the laptop. It's not
to
working
do other
on
work.
The laptop.
Otherwise, if you so wish, we could still stay still open to the public. Thank you. Thank you. We now deal with the minutes of the 18th October 2022. We'll do them page by page as we like to.
But remember, people do their work on their phones and everything. What's the virus? I thought the Wi-Fi and
check
the password.
Any corrections?
The password means you can, for you to use that password on all your devices.
If not, can I get a formal mover for adoption of
minutes? Yeah, you are correct.
Second.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that I thought it is available for all your devices that we use.
I move, Chair.
Honorable Bodlani moves. Can I get a second?
Well, we'll be able to answer that. But we've never
been able to get to the next item.
Because
we're waiting for the second. Or has the system thrown me out again? I just check, Abjura, if there's anything.
Yeah, please find out something out for the passing political party staff that I've been working at Parliament.
Yeah. Honorable members, as we come to the end of this meeting, of course, I would forever try and update but if I do that, it means updating
then
staff.
Then we must get, I think we must get
on how far we are with the process. Honorable Bodlani.
Chairperson, as you wrap up, I would like for you to include my view that today's meeting was rather frustrating with the poor network, with people not being able to raise their views, and it could have been done in half the time and we could have been a lot more productive, but it really has been frustrating, so I just wanted to register that. Thank you, and be safe on the road.
I know you are lobbying for what I've also lobbied Honorable Bambo for. We do have now committee rooms that allow for hybrid time to consider many of the members attending physically, whilst allowing those that need to connect virtually to be able to do so at their own, I think, choice. So I hear you, Honorable. So as I said, as we wrap up, Honorable members, would indeed be giving you a brief one-stage improvement on the side of us getting to finally deal with the final stage of making our own recommendation. I tried to make the follow-up if any improvement from the numbers that we had by Friday. By Friday was still 20 but by the time...
Now why is it that they want to create a problem? They want to now find an excuse not to get a meeting.
We're still waiting for feedback, so we'll keep informing you, including maybe on the platforms if there's a positive development.
Let me be honest with you. If there's one man that needs to be thought of, that's him.
We'll
he doesn't want to pay at all in lies. He just doesn't want to pay no contribution at all. Nothing.
I take it that
he don't even want to communicate with
people in helping. There's not been any change at the time I was dealt with by the network.
So they can also kept a record of it. Nothing.
Thank you, Chairperson. Nothing, Chairperson. I haven't received anything, but I've spoken to someone at SSA. They say that we might get more names this afternoon. So I'll wait and update you once I receive those names. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable members, like I said, it was needed to make it as an answer. If that gives us a positive response, we just update you on our platform, and if it necessitates us to call that a joint meeting at the point, we will do that and make the necessary application to our chairperson and to the court. With that, thanks, honorable members.